And we are going to spend the next few minutes of WGTD's morning show talking about an amazing production that has opened at the Racine Theater Guild. And in some respects, this is a cruel interview to air because we're talking about a production that is completely sold out. In fact, it was completely sold out before the first public performance had even occurred. We're talking about the Theater Guild's brand new production of The Wizard of Oz. But we want to talk about it because it is such an amazing production, and there's really kind of an interesting story behind the physical production and, in a sense, where it comes from, what has made it possible. And we want to talk with Doug Instinus, who is the stage director of this production and, of course, artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild overall, about what a great success this has been thus far. Doug Instinus, we welcome you to the morning show.
Good morning.
Good to be talking to you. So, first of all, let's just talk about just how successful this production has been. And it's the kind of success, a dimension of success that every artistic director dreams of. But I suspect this has exceeded your hopes and expectations.
Yeah, I think I would change that to every marketing director dreams of, because to have a show open before anybody's ever seen it, you know, be sold out before that happens, it's like, wow, we must be doing our marketing pretty good. I think I underestimated the love that people have of this. You know, I remember seeing it as a child and loving the movie, and, you know, back in the day you had to wait for it to be played, you know, so, you know, you had to check, okay, it's going to be played on this date, and, you know, you all sat around and watched it, and everybody was scared when the witch came in, and so, you know, the families that are coming and the people that are coming, it's just been phenomenal that people just love The Wizard of Oz, and so we're very thrilled that it's gone so well.
I remember when the Theater Guild did The Wizard of Oz before this, many years ago. That's before I was anything at the Theater Guild except an usher. Was that before your time, or were you on hand at the time? And if you were there, what are your memories of that first production?
I was there 3 years, so I think it came in around 93, and I think we did it 96, 97, 98, something like that. We did it 3 years in a row. Well, we did it 3 years in a row, so everybody loved it then, too. I didn't direct it back then, so I don't have a very strong memory of that, but I do remember that, you know, we did it for 3 years because it was so popular the first couple times we did it, and you know, people still talk about that production. We look at the pictures and have fond memories. And, you know, when we were doing this show, I went back and looked at the old playbills and kind of like, where are they now? You know, what happened to Dorothy? And where's the Tin Man? And what's happening, you know, with all of these munchkins? And where now they're all grown up and they have their own families and have kids. And it's making me feel pretty old.
What kind of conversations go on when the Theater Guild contemplates the possibility of returning to a show that they've done before? I mean, it happens. It happened not terribly long ago with Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat and with other musicals and plays, but it doesn't happen all that often. And I also don't think it happens, in a sense, carelessly. It seems like the Guild is relatively cautious when it comes to this matter.
This is the first time we've repeated, in my time, the outreach show, the one that we do in December for the school kids. Up to this point, every year has been different in my 25 years that I've been here. I mean, we've done shows twice back-to-back, but haven't repeated a show. So the general rule on the play reading committee is 20 years. We try not to repeat a show within a 20-year time spot. And I think we were looking at some of the shows that we had done in the past, and they had a lot of kids in them. And the recent shows that we've been doing had adult as leads most often and didn't have all that many kids. You know, we did Christmas Carol. Of course, you need Tiny Tim and you need the Cratchit family. But it's really more of an adult story and things like that. So we are more interested in trying to get some more things for kids to do. And, you know, Wizard of Oz came up, and we thought, wow, we can get a lot of kids involved, and we had such a great memory the first time around. Let's give it a shot. But, again, I think I underestimated the how many people love this story and how well it would sell.
Yeah. We're speaking with Doug Instanis, Artistic Director of the Racine Theatre Guild, and we are talking about a production that has just opened there, and it was a production sold out before the first public performance had even taken place. So The Wizard of Oz is on stage at the Racine Theatre Guild. Doug, I thought it would be interesting for people to hear about the physical production and not only maybe we can kind of describe it, but also explain where this design comes from and how it found its way to the Guild.
Sure. Well, you know, the thing about a loved movie, you know, and people have their favorite moments in it is how much do you recreate the movie, right? How much, what is the people's expectations? How is a play different from a movie? You know, obviously we're talking about big budgets and all the special effects and, you know, do we just copy the costumes and copy all of the scenes, or do we do something a little bit different and more theatrical? And so there's a lot of discussion about how we're going to make this world come together. And Steve Barnes, our set designer, also designed it for the Children's Theater in Madison. And they had a very similar stage with a unit set and some special effects that created the rainbow and the different locations. And I really, really liked it. And so we started with that concept, and he kind of altered it to fit our space. And, you know, I wanted a few things changed because of how we do things and how our bombs work and how our entrances and exits work. And so it kind of was adapted from that. And, you know, it's impossible for us with our wing space and our budgets to totally recreate huge sets for every location. We do a lot of that with light and what's called a unit set. So, you know, when you're in the farm sequence, we have the, you know, a wheelbarrow, a weather vane, and a fence, and now we're at the farm. And then when we go to Professor Marvel's, we have a wagon. And when we go to Oz, we have all these cool lighting effects and the rainbow. You know, the rainbow is a very important thing to have. And when we did Grease, we incorporated, because it was going to be expensive, so we incorporated it into two shows, an effect with 8 light boxes that make a beautiful rainbow. And we can, you know, make it scary, we can make it pretty, we can make it all yellow, we can make it all green. And so a lot of the things have to do with lighting effects and the smoke and the fog and the trap doors and the moving lights, you know, all the things that you expect when you enter Oz. And we also tried to do the movie justice by the black and white first scene, and then when they get to Oz, the color come to life. And so we talked a lot about that. So all the characters are dressed in sepia tones and grays and browns and darker colors in the farm. And then when we get to Oz, you know, we try to do the Technicolor thing where everybody is full of different colors. So, you know, it's been fun to try to guess what people's expectations are and then try to throw in a few twists. So we're not just copying the movie, you know. If they want to watch the movie, they can do that. It's got to be a little bit different. So some of the costuming is a little bit different. Some of the, you know, we have the jitterbug number in and some of the dialogue. But it still honors the movie. It still has all the favorite songs from the movie and all your favorite lines. So I think people like it. We also had a discussion about how scary are we going to be, you know. You know, you want a little bit of people to be nervous, but we don't want the kids running out of the auditorium when Oz comes in. We do a special effect with smoke and light and projections for Oz, which could be pretty scary. So we want this to still attract young families, you know, and kids. So anyway, that was a long discussion about our artistic endeavors on the stage, but I think we've done a really nice job honoring the movie, but throwing in some new twists, so it will hold people's interest.
Right. When you work with the actors who are doing some of these really central roles, like Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion, what has your advice been for these gifted actors in terms of not trying to ape the performances that the world knows from the famous film?
Right, it's especially the Lion's role. You know, he's got some New York accent, you know, and Bert Lahr is a very distinctive voice. And so let's not copy Bert Lahr, you know. And so find your own Lion, you know. And we've done that. We've also done it with costuming to make him look a little bit different than the movie. And the Tin Man looks a little bit different than the movie, and so does the Scarecrow. But they are who they are, you know. I mean, you don't get to totally reinvent these characters because they're very specific. But Rob and Ian and Norgie kind of bring their own creativity. The choreography is different, so they can use that. The set is different. The costumes are slightly different. But the spirit is still the same. You know, the Scarecrow is still very lovable and smart, and the Tin Man has a heart and is soft and gentle, and the Lion you want to give a big hug to half the time. I told them, you know, we can always go back to the movie. You know, we can always watch the movie and copy it. Or we can just try to find something, other things to do. And let's try that first. Let's just be creative and try something. And, you know, if it doesn't work, well, then we can go back and copy the movie. But I think they've each found, you know, some different things to do to bring, so they get some creativity. You know, no actor just wants to copy something. They want to be creative and use their own voice. And so I think our guys have done that.
Very much so. And I certainly appreciate the special effects that are involved, especially that that important moment when we first see the Wicked Witch. Mm-hmm. And the last moment we see the Wicked Witch, the wonderful special effects that enhance the great performance of Jamie Johnson.
Yeah, it's a hassle because the wind never blows the same way twice in our theater. So we practice it and it looks great, and then the next day you can't see anybody on stage. All of a sudden, the fog has rolled in, and it's a Stephen King movie where, you know, the mist has come in and I can't see a darn thing. So we're fine-tuning some of those special effects in our space. You know, in a movie, you can shoot it over and over again and just get just the right amount of fog and special effects. So it's fun. You know, I think the audience, especially the kids, have a great time. You know, they see the fog and they see the lights. And when Glinda comes in and the lights are flashing, you know, that's all fun. And in our theater, we can use the aisles. So the kids are really close to the actors, and that's exciting for them to be that close to, you know, Dorothy as she comes down the stage. So we're having a great time with it, and I hope people like the special effects and think they're fun.
Last quick question. We have a Toto. In fact, we have two Totos.
We do.
And boy, our that Toto makes too. A difference. You need a good Toto.
We do, and we're very lucky. Caitlin Christensen has some dogs and that actually have done the show, at, I think, at a high school. And she's got them trained real well, and they look very similar. They're different if you put them side by side, but they're very similar, and they're very well trained. And so she's also in the cast, which has been helpful. She's backstage, and she, you know, is in the wings, and the dogs run to her when they're supposed to, or they do what they say. It's very nervous. You know, you don't know how a dog's going to respond on stage or how the audience will respond to that dog. You know, will the kids try to distract the dog? You know, so these dogs have been great, and we've worked it so nobody puts us in jail for mistreating of these animals because, you know, there are some scenes where technically Toto is in a basket for, you know, 20 minutes. Well, not really in a basket. We ran the dog off stage and is having fun backstage and not locked up in a basket for 20 minutes because, you know, it's really hard to dance and sing and to do all the things that, you know, Dorothy's supposed to do with the dog. In a movie, you know, you can just shoot those scenes and the dog follows and does what it's supposed to. But on stage, you know, technically the dog is with her the entire play. Until the dog is taken away, you know, with the witch scene. So we have to be very careful how we use the dog and how we treat the dog, and Caitlin has been great, and she's had some trainers come in and work with Dorothy and the dogs, and it's fun. The kids love the dogs. The dog doesn't look like Toto in the movie, but the dog is still adorable, and I think steals the show. That was one of the things we talked a lot about. All right, how do we have this dog on stage and it not upstage the actors?
Mm.
You know, so because everybody's going to watch the dog. The show's about the dog.
Mm. Well, it's just one more ingredient in a really, really marvelous production. And again, we want to remind everyone that I'm afraid you're not able to see the Theater Guild's production of The Wizard of Oz. It is completely sold out. But perhaps in a subsequent season, if this production comes back. And Doug Instant is at the helm as director of this production and artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild. Thanks for taking time out of a busy week to talk with me about The Wizard of Oz.
Thank you, Greg.